The opinions expressed by the guests, listeners, and hosts on any of the programs on Time for an Awakening Media are not necessarily the opinions of the ownership or management of this station.
Now is the time.
Everyone please observe. The fasten seatbelt and no smoking signs have been turned on. Sit back and enjoy your...
Do not panic! Do not panic! We are trained professionals!
The clock is ticking, and as of now, we are keeping score.
SST Saturday Sports Talk, most interesting 2 hours of sports news and information. I'm your host, Troy Wilmore, talking about anything and everything in the sports world. What a week, what a week, what a week of sports. I'm going to have to be like my Kenyan and Ethiopian brothers and sisters and take my time and pace myself through this program. I know I only have 2 hours. There's a chock full of stories, but this is not going to be a 100-meter dash. This is going to at least be an 800 meters, maybe a 1,500-meter race. Take my time, breathe, because as a sports junkie, a person who loves sports, as I hope you all do that are listening, and even if you don't, I mean, hopefully we'll find a sport that maybe you played when you were younger in high school. We can find a sport you'll enjoy watching. You don't necessarily have to go out and bet on it. You don't have to go out and buy jerseys and paraphernalia. But if you just sit back with a glass of lemonade, coffee, or tea, or even something a little stronger, and just pick a sport. You know, that's something we plan on working on with this program as well, is introducing people to some of the sports that are not the mainstream. You know, we talk about the basics, football, basketball, baseball, little hockey, boxing, college football, college basketball, tennis, golf. Those things are fine. The Winter Olympics are coming up. We just had the Summer Olympics not too long ago. There's so many sports out there that hopefully one day we can get to a point where we can talk about them all. So we'll sit back, take our time through this program, because like I said, I'm just looking at my notes here that I've tried to keep up with throughout the week, and there are about at least 15 stories here. Then there's another notepad over here with about another 20 stories. There's just so much. So we're going to have a lot of fun. Let me give you the phone number, 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. You can also get us on Facebook at Saturday Sports Talk or on Twitter at SST_sports. So let's get started. With the sad news, nothing too heartbreaking, but it's heartbreaking if you've ever driven over the Ben Franklin Bridge, if you've ever had a chance to go to a game or an event at Campbell's Field in Camden, New Jersey. It looks like the 6,700-seat ballpark at the Camden Waterfront, which opened in 2001, will now be demolished. According to George Norcross III, who is a power hitter in South Jersey business and politics, it's going to go bye-bye. Quote, unfortunately, the state, in its lack of wisdom, built a baseball stadium for an unaffiliated independent league that folded and $35 million disappeared, end quote. Which is true. I mean, the Camden River Sharks were a pretty good baseball team. And what he said here is they were unaffiliated, which means they had no major league team that they were connected with. For example, the Philadelphia Phillies have several minor league teams. The Reading Phillies, the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. There's a team down in South Jersey. I think there are two teams in South Jersey. So most major league teams have several layers under them where you have AAA, AA, and single A minor league baseball teams. Those teams are designed to give young men out of high school and college a chance to hone their skills before they make it to the majors. So it's pretty much, I guess you can say, even competition. And when you come back from an injury, a lot of times you'll go down to the AAA or to even AA to get your timing back. Because if you're out for 2 weeks for an injury, you come back, you see a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, it's going to be a shock to you. So a lot of times you'll go down, you'll, you know, play AA, maybe AAA, where the pitchers aren't that fast. You know, they're good because eventually they do make it to the majors in some cases. So that is why you have that situation. And like he said, the Camden River Sharks were unaffiliated, which means that there was no major league team that used them as a farm system. You know, you hear that term a lot, farm system, which means, like I said, the players play through the farm system, single A, double A, triple A, and then make it to the majors. So, unfortunately, you know, the River Sharks are no longer with us, and they are going to go bye-bye. It is a very intimate stadium. If you think back to, I guess, the 70s, 80s, maybe even early 90s, you had, you know, Veterans Stadium. You had a lot of these real big baseball stadiums. And then Camden Yards, the Baltimore Orioles, pretty much started Camden Yards in this whole new, more family, you know, I don't want to say family friendly, but a little more intimate stadium where it wasn't as big. And so you had pretty much a good seat in every, you know, every seat there was in the stadium. And then as things got, you know, bigger and bigger and bigger, other teams started making stadiums. So we have Citizens Bank Park, Lincoln Financial Field, you know, all these other stadiums popping up. But you also had smaller stadiums being built for the minor league teams. And that's what we had here with Campbell's Field. And it was also for families. If you notice, you know, major sports, it's almost hard for a family of four to go to a game. I haven't seen the recent fan index, and I'm more than sure it has to be, you know, well over probably $200 for a family of four to go. And that doesn't include, you know, concessions and all those things. I mean, the face value on tickets alone is astronomical. So, you know, I've been to a few of the River Sharks games. I actually was over there for the Rasheed Wallace, Donovan McNabb celebrity softball game. I think it was 2 years. And there was another event I was over there for. I know there was a party promoter had several events over there. Like I said, nice little 6,700-seat stadium. And that's, you know, sad to see it go. So just want to give you that bad news. So if you're riding over the Ben Franklin Bridge, you know, have a moment of silence for the Campbell's Field Stadium. Rutgers does play baseball over there, so I'm not really sure if they're going to actually demolish it, if they're going to try to work something out. Who knows if Rutgers really has the money to pull that off. So we'll see that as we go along, as my cat is down here in the studio with me, handling her business, in case you hear that in the background. 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Where do we go? Where do we go? Where do we go? Eagles, they beat the 49ers last week. Started out a little slow, but they ended up winning the game handily, 33-10. I actually figured that the Eagles would not have what is called a trap game with the 49ers. 49ers are not a good team. They have a player here, a player there, but they are having so many issues right now. A new system, not a lot of weapons. Eagles just took over and just ran away with the game the way they should have. Scored two touchdowns inside of like 50 seconds. It was just a game that they should have won the way that they did win it. Simply just dominating. I actually started a hashtag several years ago called Dominate. And that's something that, you know, that's what they had to do. You know that coming up is a big stretch for the Eagles as far as looking at the possibility of the playoffs. And so what the Eagles have to do, and I'm sure Doug Peterson and the rest of the coaching staff is trying to keep them grounded in doing just that, one game at a time. Let everybody else in the division, everybody else in the NFC conference, handle their business. Whether they win or lose, we can't worry about looking at that. We have to go out and play our game. We have to go out and play Philadelphia Eagles football. Run the ball, pass the ball, play good defense, play good special teams. Win your games. Don't worry about Green Bay. Don't worry about Atlanta. Don't worry about anybody else. Just continue to do what you have to do. That's not looking in the rearview mirror. That's not looking two, three cars ahead, looking past the team. They can't look past Denver to Dallas. Dallas, I believe, is in 3 weeks, and you can't afford to do that. That is one thing that will get you beat, and that's why a lot of people call those games trap games, because you look at the 49ers who came in last week with a record of 0-7, and if you say, oh, man, we got this game in the bag, and you try to look past Denver, who is not as good as they were last year and as good as they were in the beginning of the year, if you tried to look past the 49ers, you would have gotten beat. Eagles didn't do that. They stayed true to form, beat the 49ers. Denver's in town tomorrow, 1 o'clock down at Lincoln Financial Field. They can't look past Denver. They have the bye week after that, and then Dallas. You cannot look past Denver. Denver is a pretty good defensive team. Offensively, they're struggling. They're having quarterback issues right now. They have a pretty good receiving core. Running backs are pretty good. But like I said, this is the NFL, and on any given Sunday, somebody can be beat. Can't look past Denver. And so that is something that we can talk about. How do you feel about your Eagles right now? 7-1, halfway point of the season, possibly going to 8-1 tomorrow. Like I said, Denver's having quarterback issues. You're going to be at home. Crowd's going to be electric. So, like I said, possibly 8-1 going into the bye week. Big game division against Dallas coming up. So, how do you feel about your Eagles? Monday night, I got a chance to watch the end of the Flyers game. I'm a big hockey fan. Don't understand all of the terminology in hockey, but I understand pretty much a good chunk of it. I enjoy the action. I've been to a game. It's just a fantastic time and a great sport. But the Flyers had a heartbreaking loss to the winless Coyotes. Arizona Coyotes were the only team that did not win a game until they beat the Flyers here Monday night. So, you know, that kind of hurt, but they bounced back, and they won on Thursday night, beating the St. Louis Blues in a shutout, 1-0. So Flyers are rocking and rolling again. I believe they skate tonight. I'll get the schedule to you a little bit later on. Sixers are rolling. Monday, they beat the Rockets 115-107, and then they turned right back around and won a game last night versus Indiana. So the Sixers are rolling, playing well. First four-game win streak in about 4 years. And so they're over 500, and like J.J. Redick said, you have to just keep going one game at a time. They're playing well. They're staying healthy. We have the issue with Markelle Fultz and his shoulder. Not sure where that's going to end up, but let's just hope that the training staff can get Markelle where he needs to be. I mean, he was the number one pick by the Sixers. The Sixers obviously think very highly of him. And so let's make sure they can get him back to where he needs to be. Tuesday, just going back to the Eagles, you know, when you look on social media and you see a story that's trending, which means a lot of people are talking about it, it scares you sometimes because you don't know if it's good or bad. So you see a person's name, you see it's, you know, 3,000 tweets, and you don't know if that person's alive, dead, got hurt, or whatever. But you see the name Jay Ajayi, A-J-A-Y-I, and you wonder what happened. Well, what happened is Howie Roseman, general manager for the Eagles, traded away the fourth-round pick in next year's draft to get this phenomenal running back. Jay Ajayi coming here to the Eagles has really given the Eagles a backfield that I think will give a lot of defensive coordinators sleepless nights. Jay Ajayi has had a knee problem here and there. They said he was a bad person in the locker room down in Miami Dolphins this season. And I don't blame him because Dolphins are just bad, you know, and he wants to win. That is something that certain people in sports media don't understand. If a person, a player, is passionate about winning and just goes off and yelling, screaming, and fussing and cussing, you should be happy that that player is doing that because they care. They care beyond the paycheck. So if I'm a running back and I've only gotten 10 carries and I have confidence in myself that if you give me the ball 20 times, I'm going to get 300 yards and 4 touchdowns, I should be upset, as they say, my number is not being called. So when the play is called in the huddle and they're not saying, okay, you know, we're going to do a 27 jump off the bridge, let's just say it's the play call, and that is a run play designed for me, and I don't hear that throughout the whole game and I do get a few touches here and there, I should be upset because I want this team to win. It's not about me. It's about the team because I believe that I can help this team win. So I wouldn't be upset that he's upset if I was a fan or even a journalist covering, you know, this team. So be it. So now Jay Ajayi's here. He may play tomorrow. We're not really sure yet. We have to see if whether or not he has picked up the playbook and understood the terminology of whether or not Doug Peterson wants to really throw him out there right now. Like I said, Denver is not that good. Jay Ajayi is very good. And it's also good to see that Howie Roseman went and talked to LeGarrette Blount and let him know what the plan was. And Doug Peterson has also stood behind LeGarrette Blount saying, look, he's our starting running back. And this is the plan going forward. And it's also very smart for them to bring in Jay Ajayi. And LeGarrette Blount is smart enough to know that this can help this team because what you do is now you have two different style running backs. And like I said, that'll give defensive coordinators sleepless nights. What that also will do is allow you to be rested. So you may not have to carry the ball 30 times in a game. You may have to only carry it 15 to 20. But when you have that W at the end of the day and you have that win, all's well that ends well. You have a chance to make it back to the Super Bowl. In LeGarrette Blount's case, a lot of cases with the Eagles, their first time making it and possibly winning it if that happens. So that's one of the things that you need to have is a very good running game. So, Eagles have it. Also on Tuesday, as I went through my memories on Facebook, I saw it was the 9-year anniversary of the Phillies parade. I hope to post those pictures that I have 9 years ago on my website, SaturdaySportsTalk.com, later on this week coming up. But I remember taking my camera down to 20th and Market and saying I was going to take a lot of pictures and try to practice photography and just be happy to be in the moment. And next thing I know, I see the Clydesdales. I see the Philly Fanatic on top of one of the floats dancing. I see all the players. I forget to take pictures. And then I start taking pictures. But it was one of those moments that every sports fan in every city should experience once in their lifetime. I was too young to go to the Sixers parade. I actually had school, so I wouldn't say I was too young. I had school, so I couldn't make that one. Villanova, I was old enough, but I was in school. I didn't get a chance to make their parade last year due to my work schedule. Philadelphia Souls had a few parades. I was unable to make those. I was at the parade we had for Bernard Hopkins down in front of the MSB building a few years ago. Very happy to be there for that. Had to be there for that. Was not going to miss that at all. But the Phillies parade was one where I remember us winning the 1980 World Series as an 8-year-old. Tug McGraw and just that whole team. Matty Trio, Mike Schmidt. Names go on and on and on. And so, you know, I remember that. And unable to make, like I said, that parade. But knowing that I saw the 2008 Phillies play and watched that last out, there was no way I was going to miss that parade. So I went down and snapped several photos and enjoyed my time there. Then ran off to work and, you know, was glad to see that pop up in my memories just to give you a flashback. So I'm glad that Facebook has that feature. And if you don't have a Facebook page, I highly suggest that you get one. Don't worry about the Russians. We don't care about them. On Wednesday, we had another shakeup. And this actually goes back to last Saturday, Penn State versus Ohio State. I don't know what happened. Penn State led. They were going to win that game. They were on the road in Columbus versus Ohio State. A highly competitive game. And just the wheels fell off and Penn State lost that game. So the NCAA rankings came out for this year, and now everything is upside down. Alabama was just number one for most of the year, and then all of a sudden these new rankings come out, and what happens? Alabama gets moved down. So Georgia is now the number one team, and Penn State is moved way down because Ohio State is now moved up with winning their game last week. And so now teams are trying to win the rest of their games and try to get into a bowl position, a bowl game position, as well as national championship playoff contention. So we'll dissect that as well. 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. First quarter is flying by. Another 5 minutes left here in the first quarter. Actually got a chance to watch the Breeders' Cup yesterday. I can give you the results on that. The Breeders' Cup is a series of horse races. And, you know, they say it's the sport of kings. You have to have a lot of money to participate in horse racing. And like I said earlier, to enjoy a sport, you don't have to be financially invested in it. You just basically have to sit back, grab a glass of something, watch it, and enjoy it. And ever since, and this is where it shows my age, and for all those that know the area in Winfield, used to be the A&P Market where the St. Joe's dorms are now, right there across from the 24-hour convenience store. I won't give them any shout-outs. They don't advertise here. And my father and I would take the little cart and walk up to the A&P Market, and they had some type of, I guess it was a game card thing you take apart and it has the little name of the horse on it. And if the horse wins, you get some type of prize or whatever. And I had a little chair. I must have been, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old. This had to be the mid-70s. And for whatever reason, I would take that little card and try to see if we would win. But I was watching horse racing. I love horses. I've been horseback riding a few times. But I love the sport. I don't go out and try to handicap. I do watch the Triple Crown, which is the Kentucky Derby, Preakness Stakes, and Belmont Stakes. Kentucky Derby is always the first Saturday in May. Preakness is 2 weeks after, and the first Saturday in June is the Belmont Stakes. So I always sit back and watch, as they say, watch the ponies. I don't try to go to the off-track betting places or go online and try to bet. Like I said, I try to just sit back and enjoy watching these greatly trained animals, you know, perform. You know, you got your jockeys on there, and they have to have strategy, and they're testing and training them. It's just a beautiful specimen. So I got a chance to watch the Breeders' Cup yesterday. So we will talk about the Breeders' Cup as well. 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. On Facebook at Saturday Sports Talk. On Twitter at SST underscore sports. SaturdaySportsTalk@gmail.com is the email in case you cannot get to us. So many other things we'll talk about as we come back from the end of the first quarter. It's simply going to be a great sports day here on SST Saturday Sports Talk. We'll be back in a minute.
Now is the time.
This is Bernard the Executioner Hopkins, the undisputed middleweight champion of the world. You are listening to the Saturday Sports Talk Show with Troy Wilmore.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com. Not a Wu-Tang.
Saturday Sports Talk. Most interesting 2 hours of sports news and information. I'm your host, Troy Wilmore. 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Talking about anything that may be on your sports mind. Simply having fun in the first quarter. Laying out about 35 different topics that I had for you. And just to go back over a few as we go along through the program. As I mentioned, the Flyers are having an up and down season. Win a game, lose a game, win a couple games, lose a couple games. Here we go. So, like I said, they lost in overtime. Let's go back to last Saturday, beat the Toronto Maple Leafs 4-2 after losing Thursday night to the Ottawa Senators 5-4. Came back on Monday, lost that game to the Arizona Coyotes in overtime 4-3. Nasty, nasty loss there. Wednesday, they got trounced by the Blackhawks out in Chicago 3-0. Then they turned right back around, headed over to St. Louis and had a shutout 2-0. They had an empty goal at the end of the game, so 2-0 Flyers win. Pretty even matchup today at home. Colorado Avalanche are in town to skate against the Flyers. Avalanche coming with a record of 7-5. Flyers have a record of 7-6-1. Try to get a little payback against the Blackhawks next week as they will be in town. Then they had the Minnesota Wild on November 11th. And then a back-to-back with the Minnesota Wild. So the Wild come here, then they go out to Minnesota to play the Wild on the 14th. So we can talk about the Flyers, if you will. 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Going back to our 76ers, after losing on the 25th to the Rockets 105-104 in a heartbreaking loss, they turned around, got on a plane, went down to Dallas and handled business on the Mavericks' home court, 112-110, kept the momentum going, got a little payback going over to Houston on Monday and beating the Rockets 115-107. My buddy Malik Rose, who I believe is the general manager, I forget his exact title, with the Atlanta Hawks, had to come home and get a little spanking. Probably had a couple cheesesteaks, but they still lost. Atlanta Hawks lose to the Sixers at home, 119-109. Sixers are still rolling, playing well. Last night, 121-110 victory over the Indiana Pacers. And a great game all around. Sixers four in a row. They're on the road next week. Ben Simmons had 14, 11, and 11. J.J. Redick had 31. Joel Embiid had 18 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. Team is above 500 first time in 4 years. Dario Saric finally chipped in with 15 points for his cause. So right there, you're talking about 31, 14, 18, 15, 46, 60. Almost the starting four, well, starting three, pretty much took the lump of the points. I don't know if J.J. Redick started last night. I think he might have come off the bench, but who knows. With this offense, there's any combination you can add, and next thing you know, things are rolling. So upcoming, the Sixers go out west. Utah on the 7th, Sacramento Kings on the 9th, Golden State Warriors on the 11th. It's going to be a big test for your Philadelphia Sixers. They have the Clippers on the 13th, and then the Lakers on the 15th, and then they come back home. And it looks like a reverse trip because the Warriors will be here on the 18th. The Jazz will be here on the 20th. Portland will be in town and a few other teams here and there. Big game will be November 27th when the Cavaliers come to town. Speaking of the Cavaliers, man, oh, man, oh, man. What got into LeBron James's water yesterday? The Cavaliers were struggling at one point. Looking at the standings, I think the Sixers were better than the Cavaliers. The Cavaliers are having some growing pains right now. Just, you know, a few players out here and there. LeBron said he wasn't in shape. They had a four-game losing streak. They went down to Washington, but LeBron dropped 57. 57 points last night. 11th career 50-point game. Sixth most in NBA history. The 10th 50-point game on the road. He's the third player in history with 10 50-point games on the road. There's a person who has 45 50-point games on the road and had 118 50-point games in his career. I won't say any names. I'll let you guess it. And if you do get the right answer, I have a gift for you. As soon as I can find it, it is a calendar, 365 sports facts a year, 2018 little desk calendar, chock full of little notes and factoids of what happened on each day of the year. 215-490-9832 on Facebook, Saturday Sports Talk, on Twitter, SST_sports. First person to tell me who that person is will get the calendar, or maybe even a Party Savers t-shirt. Party Savers is one of our chief sponsors here, premium sponsors. And he has donated a t-shirt to us. So shout out to the Mitchell family and being one of our sponsors. More about him a little bit later on in the program. Just having a lot of fun here on this Saturday. First Saturday in November. It seems like only yesterday we started this program and we are rocking and rolling and having a lot of fun talking with you. Baseball. World Series. Dodgers, Astros, it is finally over. The Astros were leading 3-2. Next thing you know, they go out to L.A. L.A. holds that game 6. They win it, force it to a game 7. And we all know what happened after that. Houston won the World Series on the road in L.A. I don't know if they still call it Minute Maid Park, the Houston Astros home stadium. They have so many different names and corporations, you know, buy the naming rights. You almost had to have an abacus and a compass just to keep up with the naming rights. But their stadium was packed with fans watching the games. So they were just electric all night. You know, after dealing with the hurricane and the floods, I'm sure there are still people that are dealing with those things. But to take away the, you know, the stress of that moment, you know, having their sports team go out and win a championship is really something a lot of people, I guess, like to see happen. The fans were right there with them, you know, about 40, 50,000 strong. There's a picture running around the internet now. I hope it is a true picture of a parking garage overlooking the parade route for yesterday's parade. And I mean, wall to wall, shoulder to shoulder, orange and blue everywhere, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7 levels up. And one lady lost her hat, and I guess it, you know, went several levels down, and they, people threw the hat back up, and that has gone viral, just showing that they're Houston strong. You know, I'm happy for the city of Houston and for the fans down there, happy for the franchise. They had won their first World Series championship. Hopefully they don't win any more. Hopefully next year it'll be the Phillies for the next 3 or 4 years. Wishful thinking, of course. But, you know, they have been through a lot. And I'm sure the players were affected as well. So they actually went out there and defied the odds. Former National League team, now they moved to American League several years ago. And then the Dodgers lost the World Series. So I tip my cap to the Astros. It was funny seeing Josh Reddick, who was wearing the championship belt. The WWE, over the last several years, I don't know what gave them the idea to do this. I don't know if it's a lot of players on different teams and different sports enjoy wrestling. And so they have belts and they, you know, act out, they go to the shows. A lot of times you'll look at, you know, wrestling and they'll have different players from different teams in the front row as guests. But Josh Reddick had the world championship belt that Triple H had sent to the Astros with the custom side plates and everything. And he did his best Ric Flair impersonation. You know, he said, "Now we're limousine riding, jet flying, wheeling, dealing, kiss stealing, sons of guns," and did the Ric Flair woo. I don't want to blow your ears out. And did the Ric Flair woo. And that was just simply hilarious. At least he didn't drop an F-bomb like Chase Utley did here with the Phillies 9 years ago. So baseball season is over. Now it's time for everybody to get rested, get a little vacation in. Some players will go down and play some winter ball down in Latin America and in Florida, just try to spend time with their families and get ready for the upcoming season. Before you know it, baseball season will be right back on us. So the other day, what happened? The Phillies, our beloved Philadelphia Phillies, introduced their new manager, or our new manager. I mean, I'm not part of management, but I still consider it to be my team. And it's interesting to see the reaction because of who this manager is. Gabe Kapler is the new manager of our Philadelphia Phillies. Gabe is a health nut. He is well built. He's trained. He's almost like a model. And that has been the biggest joke all week is, like, you know, this is the new manager of the Phillies. You know, look at him. He's in his Speedos and, you know, muscled up and all those things. And so they're joking with him about that. But he has a unique approach to managing. He goes along with analytics and different stats and try to have great conditioning and diet regimen and just an outstanding brain for the game, if you will. He's only 42 years of age, and he is coming here with a lot of passion, a lot of fire, and really wants to bring this city another championship. So hopefully he'll have that. You do know that the Phillies did finish the season 66 wins, 96 losses. Well, we won the last game of the season. We were 31 games behind the Washington Nationals, who did make the playoffs. We were only four games behind the Mets, so we actually could have, you know, been a little bit better than the Mets. Six games behind the Atlanta baseball franchise. So that is something to keep an eye out on, is this whole idea of how will this new wave of baseball managing and approach to baseball translate to the players, and if it will translate to victories. We don't necessarily have to go out and win the World Series next year. It'd be great, because you go from worst. I don't think we were the worst team. I think there was another team behind us, but one of the worst teams in all of baseball to winning the World Series. I mean, it's a movie script, and that is something that would be nice to see. But like I said, even if we make the playoffs next year, even if we get to the NLCS, which is the National League Championship Series, I don't think it would be a bad thing. Even making it to the division round, I mean, we would have, you know, high hopes, to sing an old song from Harry Callis, but, you know, being better than what we were is actually something that hopefully we can take this young team, who started to play well down the stretch, and really go around and convert this franchise back to its winning ways. So we'll see what happened with Gabe Kapler and that. We talked a little bit about college football, so many other things that we will talk about here on the program in the middle of the second quarter. Baseball, you know, like I said, is pretty much done. Now they have all the awards will be coming out over the next several days. Shortstop Freddie Galvis of the Phillies is up for a gold glove. Two stories in football I'd really like to get to and try to figure out, because they're so confusing that you don't really know what's going to happen. And that is the thing I think that disturbs me the most, is that they're confusing. The first story is Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott. Ezekiel Elliott was accused of physical abuse and physical assault on his then girlfriend. I don't even think they're together anymore. Ever since the Ray Rice incident happened, the NFL has been very deliberate in making sure that punishment is handed out. So the accusations were there. There was also supposed to be a recanting of the story by the young lady. There's, of course, accusations running while she was paid off. I don't have any proof of that. But you would think that in a situation like this, that is the possibility. Because why would you say something happened, then it didn't happen? Like I said, it's so confusing. So Ezekiel Elliott was suspended, then he was appealing it, suspended, appealing, stay, you know, it. Like I said, it's so confusing. So the latest thing we have is this. Coming straight from NFL Mobile, a federal appeals court granted the NFL Players Association a brief administrative stay in the Ezekiel Elliott case on Friday, reinstating the Dallas Cowboys running back's eligibility for Sunday's game against the Kansas City Chiefs. The stay request approved by the 2nd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals only guarantees Elliott's eligibility through Sunday, meaning he will be suspended again heading into Week 10 unless the court extends the stay. There's a chance the 2nd Circuit Court could grant the union's request for an emergency injunction next week. If it does so, Elliott would have his playing eligibility restored while the court reviews the NFLPA, NFL Players Association's, appeal of Elliott's 6-game suspension. See what I mean? See how confusing that is? So what they did was, on Friday, they said, okay, there's a stay on the suspension, which means he can play tomorrow, Sunday Night Football, I believe, against Kansas City. As soon as the game is over, he's suspended again for Week 10. Then there's a chance that he could be eligible to play again. It's just too confusing. So, unless his lawyers manage to get the suspension lifted again, he'll miss the next 6 games after Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons, Philadelphia Eagles, LA Chargers, Washington, New York, and the Raiders before being eligible to play in Week 16 against Seattle on Christmas Eve. somebody I was talking to yesterday, I'm trying to think of where I was, might have been in City Hall. I think we were talking about just take the suspension, let him come back, and then you won't have any problems going into the end of the season. So, imagine if you will, he's eligible to play tomorrow, suspended again. Let's just say he's eligible to play 2 weeks from now, and then suspended again. This could go into the postseason if the Cowboys were to make it to the postseason. You don't have one of your biggest weapons when it's time to go into battle because he's suspended. Now, I can understand the reason why they're fighting it. I think I heard him say that, you know, he's innocent. It's more than football. It's about clearing his name. And so that is the reason why he is appealing. So I get it. It does kind of make sense, but it's still confusing. Like I said, it's still very, very confusing. Even more confusing, and it's actually twofold, it's the Colin Kaepernick situation. Outstanding rookie for the Houston Texans, Deshaun Watson out of Clemson, tore his right ACL in practice, non-contact drill. The knee just gave way on him. Unfortunately, he's done for the season. He was probably going to be rookie of the year. I think he was the AFC rookie or AFC player of the month. And, you know, he's done a lot of phenomenal things on the field as well as off the field. He's done some community things, and he was one of our members of Giving Back a few weeks ago. But just a well-grounded, very, you know, gives you hope, you know, for sports. And so, unfortunately, he's down for the year. And there were tons and tons of supportive messages coming in from players from all over in various different sports telling them to stay strong. You know, it's a bad situation. And, you know, they were coming off of the loss at Seattle, but he played well in that game. He had the controversy with Bob McNair, the owner of the Texans. And, you know, so down goes Watson. So, of course, everybody's saying, okay, well, you got this young man, outstanding quarterback that goes down. Who are the Houston Texans going to use? And not to disparage them, but it's almost like Matty, Mo, and Jack. Who in the ham sandwich did they go out and sign? Well, it looks as if their backup quarterback, who Deshaun Watson ended up taking a job from, is going to start tomorrow, Tom Savage. But the other guys they went out and signed were probably just sitting home doing nothing. And like I said, not to disparage them, but, you know, Colin Kaepernick just turned 30 the other day. And people are saying that he's in the prime of his career and should be on the football field. This is from one of the, you know, well-respected national experts when it comes to covering the NFL. So, like I said, Tom Savage comes back and takes over. So the question is, what's going to happen now? They also went out and got a few other guys, like I said, that most people would say, why would you go out and sign these guys when you have Colin Kaepernick sitting right here? Why would you do that? And it's amazing how when the starting quarterbacks go down and then the backup quarterback goes down or plays poorly, that there is no Colin Kaepernick on the field. Why? Matt McGloin and TJ Yates are the quarterbacks that they brought in. McGloin and Yates were with the Eagles and the Buffalo Bills. So they were probably just home, you know, throwing a ribeye steak on the grill. I don't know if they were on the practice squad of any other teams. But it's just ridiculous. So that's the first half of the Colin Kaepernick situation. So then it comes out yesterday. Seattle Seahawks coach Pete Carroll and owner Paul Allen will be deposed in former 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick's collusion grievance. Multiple news outlets are reporting Pete Carroll and Allen will join a list of names including Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, Patriots owner Bob Kraft, on why the now 30-year-old free agent is not on their team. Considering that Kraft and Jones are often looked at as two of the most powerful and most influential owners in the NFL. So, I guess the accusation and the allegations are, you know, Jerry Jones and Kraft got on their phones or emails or whatever and told the other owners around the league, do not bring Kaepernick in. I don't care if your starting quarterback, you know, falls out the shower and can't walk for 6 months. Don't bring this guy in. So that seems to be what the accusations are. And I don't blame Kaepernick's agent, and I don't blame the fans for thinking that there is this collusion or being blackballed, if you will, of Colin Kaepernick. Very talented and has proven that he's physically talented and mentally talented to play this game. But because of the controversy, and I don't even want to call it a controversy, to be quite honest, because I don't see it as that. Surrounding this issue of kneeling and everything that has come with that. So, the lawyer and, like I said, the fans are pretty much thinking that that's what all the owners are doing. They're telling each other, hey, don't bring this guy in. He's not good for you. Now, he is good on the field, but the public relations nightmare that you would have to control is one you probably don't want. You probably don't want to have sponsors pulling away from you. You probably don't want to have protesters protesting you. You know, just this week, and I'm not going to give this guy any free publicity, and you know who I'm talking about. National franchise pizza chain. The owner has said that his business is down because of all these protests, and there should have been more leadership. I'm not quoting him verbatim. And, you know, it's funny because I got a chance to see a lot of comments, and people were talking about how nasty the pizza is. And it's, you know, it's one of those things that's an opinion. I actually enjoyed that particular pizza at one time. I haven't had it in several months, and I don't even know if I'll ever eat it again. It's disturbing that this person doesn't have half a brain in his head to understand what the protest and the kneeling and the fist in the air is all about. You know, we've gone back and forth about this. You have people on one side saying it's disrespecting the troops and the flag. Other people saying it's about, you know, African American and Latino brothers and sisters being shot and killed, being unarmed. And that's what it's about. The people that are saying it's about the flag and the troops are not listening. Kaepernick has said it himself. It's not about the troops. Nate Boyer, who is a white guy, former Green Beret, University of Texas, Seattle Seahawk player, talked to Colin Kaepernick and said, I understand what you're doing, but you shouldn't sit down. You can kneel. Take a knee. So here you have someone that has served this country and has told him, take a knee. Now, what I have a problem with are people that don't think that's appropriate. How else, as an American citizen who happens to play football, who did play football, how can they shine more light on this situation that is bothering them? Let's just say, you know, one of the victims happened to be a friend of Kaepernick's or related to somebody that he knows. That's going to bother him. You see what happened with Michael Bennett the night of the Mayweather-McGregor fight. He was assaulted. So why is this such a problem for all of you that want to wave the flag and talk about the troops? I'm not against the flag. I'm not against the troops. But if we're all supposed to be equal, what's the problem? 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. So here we go. In the courtroom next week, Colin Kaepernick and his attorney fighting against the owners because they believe that he was blackballed and there was collusion. And I honestly believe that they could have and do have a very strong argument. If you took the roster of NFL quarterbacks, Colin Kaepernick would have to be probably in the top 30, maybe top 40 of quarterbacks if he was playing. Could he start for some teams? Absolutely. Could he be a backup on some teams? Absolutely. So you got 32 teams, and he has to be better than at least, you know, maybe the bottom eight. He has to be better than the quarterbacks of your losing teams, the 49ers, the Browns, probably better than whoever's starting for the Cardinals right now. You know, just look at it. How crazy is that, that we're sitting here having an argument because a person who has the First Amendment right to do what he was doing is not playing the game that he loves, the game that he was paid to do. And for people to sit up there and say athletes need to just play football and play basketball, play baseball, play hockey and shut up, I think you're wrong on that one. You're wrong on that one. So put that one in your pipe and light it up. 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832 on Facebook at Saturday Sports Talk, on Twitter @SST_sports, email @SaturdaySportsTalk.com. We'll be back right after this.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Not a Wu-Tanger.
I'm not sure if you really heard that, but that was actually dropped from Malik Rose from the Atlanta Hawks by way of Old Brook High School, so we'll make sure we work that out in post-production a little bit later on next week. Welcome back to SST Saturday Sports Talk, most interesting 2 hours of sports news and information. I am your host, Troy Wilmore, talking about anything and everything in the world of sports. Before we go on, I have a reminder about one of our outstanding sponsors here on the program. That's Integrity Real Estate. They understand that buying or selling a home is more than just a transaction. It's a life-changing experience. That's why their team of highly seasoned real estate professionals is dedicated to providing exceptional personalized service for all of their clients. They take great pride in the relationships they build and always work relentlessly on the client's behalf to help them achieve their real estate goals. Their philosophy is simple. Clients come first. They pledge to be in constant communication with their clients, keeping them fully informed throughout the entire buying or selling process. They believe that if you're not left with an amazing experience, they have not done their job. They don't measure success through achievements or awards, but through satisfaction of their clients. And like I said before, and I'll say it and constantly continue to say it, Integrity Real Estate, I highly recommend. As I said, my wife and I, when we purchased the home that we're in currently, that they took their time with us. Trent Pettis and the fine staff, you know, we told them we wanted to look at some houses, gave them the price point, and they gave us about maybe 20 or 50 houses to look at. You know, we looked through several of them and didn't like them. They were very patient. They weren't looking at their watches and saying, look, you got to pick a house. There was no pressure. And so when we finally did find the house, everything, all the I's were dotted, all the T's were crossed, and it was simply a very pleasant experience. And I highly, highly recommend you call Trent Pettis and the fine staff at Integrity Real Estate, 6335 Wayne Avenue, 215-849-1111. Integrity Real Estate is someone that I enjoy talking about. I don't know if you can see the smile on my face, well, maybe not yet, but you should be able to hear it in my voice. You know, we had no issues whatsoever. We looked at a house here, didn't like it. Looked at a house over there, didn't like it. Looked at a house over here, didn't like it. And they were patient. They were kind and very professional. Integrity Real Estate, 215-849-1111, 6335 Wayne Avenue. Tell Integrity Real Estate that Troy Wilmore and Saturday Sports Talk told you to call. Boxing. Big boxing match coming up tonight. Anthony Joshua won his fight last week over in London, England. And so now we have the WBC champion, Deontay Wilder. Now, we were talking to some friends the other day. We were talking about boxing and how there's nobody that really excites us right now. And nobody that really can pick up the mantle that a Mayweather had and really, you know, as we say, try to talk people into the building. I think Deontay Wilder is really trying to talk people into the building as well as watching it on Showtime. The fight will be in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center in New York tonight. Deontay Wilder said, quote, I beat him to an inch of his life for the first time. This time, I'm going to end his life. End quote. So he's promising victory and he's promising to kill Bermain Stiverne. I believe that's how you pronounce his name. So tonight, Deontay Wilder, Bermain Stiverne, WBC heavyweight title, Barclays in New York, 9 o'clock on Showtime. There's also a fight in the light heavyweight division on HBO at 5:45. Dimitri Bivol versus Trent Broadhurst. as I was saying a few weeks ago about boxing, you know, I covered boxing for about 20 years and kind of, you know, faded away from it a little bit. So a lot of these names are new to me, but, you know, it's still the same. You know, train for 6 to 8 weeks and really put your body into physical condition and really have to get your mind into physical condition and go out there and perform and try to win a championship or retain a championship. So the sweet science is still there. It's just a matter of the names being different. So we don't have any more Fernando Vargas's, and Yuri Boy Campuses, Ivan Robinson's, Nate Miller's, Charles Brewer's, Bernard Hopkins, those names that I'm familiar with. So you have a Deontay Wilder. It's interesting to look at this picture, and I'll try to see if I can put it out through social media, of Deontay Wilder and Burmain. Deontay Wilder looks very cut up, as they say. You can see his muscles and muscular definition. But Burmain looks a little soft around the belly, has little love handles. Doesn't seem to have that chiseled look. That doesn't mean he can't punch. I mean, heavyweights, you know, they can punch. Deontay Wilder will weigh probably close to 230 when he steps in the ring. He was 220 and 3/4 pounds yesterday at the weigh-in. Burmain is at 254 and 3/4 pounds. When they fought in 2015, Stiverne weighed 239. Wilder was 219. So Wilder is pretty much right there in his wheelhouse as far as a weight that I'm sure he's comfortable with. WBC title on the line, of course, that means 2018 may be the year of the unification of the heavyweight crown. So it'll be interesting to see if we can get back to having one champion. I have a stat I'm running around somewhere where I think there at several years ago, I believe there were 26 different sanctioning organizations and I think 16 different weight classes, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, how crazy is that? I mean, I understand it because as a sanctioning organization, you get money because you charge fighters sanctioning fees to fight for the championships. So I understand it, and it, you know, it is what it is. You know, people want to make money. This is America. So if you want to go ahead and make up the, you know, ABC light heavyweight championship, by all means, go ahead. It probably will not get the recognition of the top four, WBC, WBA, IBF, and WBO, which actually just came out about less than 50 years ago, I think the WBO has been around. But the top three, like I said, IBF, WBA, WBC, have been around a lot longer. The WBO came into prominence later on. And then you have others, the IBC, the IBO, the WBF, other sanctioning organizations. So you go into the ring, you can have 10 belts with you, all from different sanctioning organizations if you pay the sanctioning fees. A lot of fighters don't want to do it because some of those lesser-known organizations really don't mean much. I mean, it's a nice-looking belt. You know, it is what it is. So it looks like Don King, who is at the fight, promotes Stiverne, and predicted, of course, in Don's only style, that he will shock the world and win the fight and deliver an upset. So we'll have to see what happens with that going forward. Really trying to get back into the swing of things of the sweet science. I really enjoy boxing. Covered several fights and just like the sweet science. Like I said, it takes a lot for you to train to be a professional fighter. You know, whether you're going all the way from Golden Gloves up to the Olympics, and then to the pros. It takes a lot. You have to sacrifice the foods that you like to eat. You have to sacrifice the temptations of the flesh, if you will, for several weeks. And so to be a boxer has to be one of the hardest things to do, because what you're putting your body through. And then once you get in the ring, when that bell rings, if you end up taking punishment, the recovery, accidental headbutts, if you get cut, or even if it's a cut from the punch or an accidental elbow, you know, scar tissue, and have to recover from that. I'm glad I was never a boxer. WBA actually had their convention in Medellin, Colombia, earlier this week. And who do I see on FightNews.com's website? The one and the only, my good friend, former undisputed middleweight and former light heavyweight champion, Bernard the Executioner, the Alien Hopkins. He actually gave some helpful boxing tips and instructions to a couple youngsters in a youth group. So Bernard was all the way down in Medellin, Colombia earlier this week. I guess they're back stateside now. I don't know what Golden Boy East has coming up next. Bernard is the president of Golden Boy East. It's actually a nice picture here of their 96th annual convention. Was on Monday night. Jimmy Lennon Jr. and Oscar De La Hoya, Evander Holyfield, and a few others are in this picture. Juan Manuel Marquez. And Roberto Duran? Wow, Roberto Duran looks like he's an easy heavyweight right now. So he's also in the picture. And so we will try to carve out more time for people to talk about boxing. Talk about dream matches and what happens, you know, in certain situations. One of the stories I did want to touch on, and hopefully I can find it, and it's quite disturbing. And I'm not judging, and this goes back to, you know, I don't judge people for what they do. But I think people have to be smarter in their decisions. And that is Luis Ortiz, big left-hand heavyweight, who has now been banned for a year. Now, what happened with him was you had to get drug tested. And there are different ways to be drug tested in different organizations that do drug testing. He's from Cuba. He actually won the title, but failed his drug test. Now, he was supposed to fight Deontay Wilder, but because he tested positive for chlorothiazide and hydrochlorothiazide, he's suspended for a year. His suspension will last until September 22nd, 2018. He also has to be in constant contact with the WBA's testing program. The story goes that he has high blood pressure and he was taking medicine for that. And that's why those substances showed up in his sample. I don't know, after you've seen so many people being suspended for being drug tested and failing drug tests, that the people around the athletes are not more careful. They're not more deliberate in communication with the doctors, the pharmaceutical companies, the sanctioning organizations, you know, trying to find alternative means of therapy for their conditions, for their fighters. I mean, if you have a cold and you go and take some over-the-counter medicine, you're going to pop positive on your test. You don't necessarily need that. I'm not a doctor. But I'm more than sure there are other ways to get rid of the common cold other than taking over-counter medication, especially as a boxer. Or even as an Olympic athlete who are rigorously drug tested. So I fault Ortiz a little more than I do his handlers and associates.
This call is being recorded.
But I also fault him, you know? And so it's an interesting thing to see what's going to happen going forward with this situation. 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832 on Facebook at Saturday Sports Talk, on Twitter, SST_sports. Let's go to the phones and talk to you. Good morning, you're on SST Saturday Sports Talk. How are you? Germantown Joe, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. Trey, just tuned in. Trey, who was you talking about? What subject was you talking about just now, Trey? Just tuned in just a minute ago.
Yeah, I'm talking about right now Luis Ortiz, a big Cuban heavyweight who was tested positive for several banned substances. Yeah.
Wow. So what is he banned from boxing right now?
Oh, he's banned for a year.
Oh, for a year. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Joe, what I was basically saying was I said how these athletes have to be more careful about the things they put in their body because, you know, if you pop positive, that can hurt your career. So,
sure,
you know, whether
sure.
you're Lane Johnson or any any person that you have seen over the years, you know, pop positive for anything, you have to be more careful than that.
Hey, Trey, I couldn't agree with you more, Trey. That's why you have to do your due diligence. You just can't like, – I don't care if it's somebody that's a highly respected, you know, nutritionist or whatever. You got to make sure that what you take is that the league that you play for, the sport you play for, you know, accepts it and stuff. Because you don't want to take something – though it might be good, and that's the sad world we live in. You might be taking something that's good, but if it's on a bad list, it can hurt you and stuff, man.
That's right.
You know, it's just sad that, you know, the things are so under scrutiny like that now. So you're right, Trey. You have to be very careful what you, you know, put in your body and stuff, you know. Trey, I want to get your take on a couple of things. First, what did you think about the Houston pitcher that made the little racist slant when he mocked the Dodgers pitcher with the slanty eye thing? What do you think about that?
There's no place for that. I mean, that's something that was coming up a little bit later on in the program. I do that segment, Joe, and I'm glad you mentioned it, called NSI, which is not so intelligent. And,
I agree.
You know, it's
I
one
agree.
Of those things where you can't have people mocking people for their ethnicity, you know, or even their religion. If a person is Asian, we all know that you're not supposed to say certain things. You're not supposed to make certain gestures. It's like blackface for African Americans.
Right.
You know,
right.
So if anybody puts on blackface, we all know that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jewish people, we all know how they feel about the Holocaust. So there should be no references to Adolf Hitler and his idiocy that, you know, he went through in his career. Mm-hmm. You know, so there are things that you're not supposed to do. And unfortunately, you know, he got caught up in that. And, you know, it's a sad thing.
Hey, well, you know, Trey, I'm glad you stated that way, Trey. Because I always was wondering why would people, like I said, I'm wondering what motivated him to even do something like that. Because it was just totally uncalled for. I mean, the Japanese pitcher, he's played for the Dodgers. He out there doing his job. He out there, you know, pitching. I think he hit a home run off the guy, whatever the case was. Oh, you hit the home run, just you know, give you a high five and just keep it moving. I mean, why would you even, motivate you even stop and do something that racist and that stupid and stuff? You know what I mean? You wonder sometimes, Trey, what goes through people's minds that they wouldn't even stoop to be even doing something that low level, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just sad, man. And also, too, Trey, the owner – of the Houston Texans who made that remark about the inmates running the prison and everything like that.
Yeah, Bob McNair. Yeah, he made the list last week, Joe.
Right, he made it last week. I didn't get a chance to call the show last week, which I regret. But see, Trey, that comment, to me, it just let these athletes, especially African-American players, know the mentality. See, Bob McNair said it, but he's not the only one feel that way. You know, it's a lot of them, they got that kind of mindset because see where the hypocrisy comes in that choice that many of these owners, it's almost look comical for them to criticize Trump because many of them supported Donald Trump, you know. So to come out there and criticize him for the remarks he made and stuff, it's almost laughable because many of them supported Donald Trump and many of them still behind the scenes supporting Donald Trump. You
That's
know?
Right, and financially especially.
Was that Troy?
I said, and definitely financially supporting him.
Oh, no doubt about that. You know what I mean? So you just let these players know who their true friends are. So these guys got to have an attitude that, look, they playing football, get your money, and be a good citizen, but don't think for 1 minute these owners really got your best interests at heart. And I think Bob McNair pretty much let the cat out the bag. You know, I think he really showed the mentality of a lot of these owners. But, you know, I will say this, a couple more things I go. On the Sixers last, I watched the Sixers game last night against the Pacers.
Great game.
And I'm going to tell you, good game. I'll tell you something, Trey. I'm not, you know, they not know it on championship level left, but the Sixers are building a good little team there, man. They look good. I think they come together. They need a couple more pieces and stuff. I think the Sixers in a couple years, they may be a really dominant team. They can just continue to build. My only problem with the Sixers, Troy, and I'm sure you might have, you know, felt this way too, why, if they can't, you know, if they're not going to play the young man, and again, the game last night, I don't know why someone like Jahlil Okafor wasn't on the floor. Without that athleticism last night, you're not going to tell me Jahlil Okafor couldn't have found some minutes last night. So my thing, Troy, if you're not going to play the young man, don't keep making excuses that nobody won. This man is young. He may not be the greatest defensive player, but if anything else, he's a scorer.
And you Absolutely.
Need to tell me, it got to be a spot for him. It's not on the Sixers, on some team in the league. Okay? It has to be, Troy.
Yeah, I think, you know, Jahlil Okafor is catching a bad break, you know, with the Sixers right now, not getting any playing time whatsoever, not even really getting an audition to play with other teams. And that's the sad part. I mean, you know, you've invested all this money in this young man who played well mm-hmm. for you when he was playing, and now
that's
Joel
right.
Embiid is back, but now you don't have a place for him. You're not even trying to find a way to get him off the team to help this team going forward. You know, people
exactly.
wheel and deal and make trades all the time. You know, he's
exactly.
6'11", 255 pounds. He'll be 22 this year. He was the third overall pick just 2 years ago. And
that's
you mean
right.
to tell me he's not good? He has no
exactly.
history of injuries, no history of doing anything wrong. I think he had maybe one off-the-field incident, I think, of driving fast, maybe. I can't even remember. But, you know, what is it about him that is scaring the Sixers away from playing him here
mm-hmm.
or playing him, period, so he can be traded away?
I agree. And Troy, he did something, Brother Troy, that our dear friend Johnny Smiley, but he became a vegetarian this summer.
Okay.
And so, you know, Brother Johnny's smiling now. He changed his whole diet around. He said he stopped eating meat. He said he has more energy. And even the Sixers acknowledged that. That's the funny thing, Troy, because going into training camp, the Sixers brass, Brett Brown and the Sixers brass included, they commended Jahlil for the shape he came in. They say he came in tone. He had muscles. He was muscly tone. You know, when a person works out and they're in good shape, his body was toned, because he said he changed his whole diet around. His meat is not in his diet no more.
Yeah.
So I'm saying to myself, this kid did all that, and you commended him and stuff. What's going on? Why you can't at least, you're not going to give him no playing time. You mean tell him you at least can't trade him? Because it's unfair to keep him on the team and stymie his career if you're not going to play him and stuff, you know. And
that's
then you're
right.
not going to trade him either. So I don't know. Because like the kid, like you said, Troy, he's a good guy from all I know, man. Like you said, he had that one little incident. But other than that, he's been a good citizen.
Yeah, he seems to be.
You know, so I don't know what's going on with the Sixers, but I hope something can be rectified. So if this young man can't start getting some minutes with the Sixers, at least trade him to us. A lot of teams could definitely use his athleticism and his scoring ability. Troy,
well
you know?
Trade him out west so he doesn't hurt us here in the playoffs on the east side. If anything, he would hurt us in the finals. So trade him out west.
Exactly. You trade him out west. Trade him don't trade him to Golden State. You make the mighty that much more mighty.
Yeah, absolutely.
Trade him to the Lakers.
Trade them somewhere.
Trade
them to the Clippers.
The Lakers, they're not good these days. Trade them to the Lakers.
Yeah.
Well, Troy, thanks for your time,
hey,
man.
Joe, you want to take a shot at this contest?
Oh, sure, Troy. Go ahead.
All right. So it's a 2018 Sports Fact Calendar. So the question is, LeBron James dropped 57 points last night. 11th career 50-point game, 6th most in NBA history. Third player with 10 50-point road games. This person has 118 50-point games. Who is it?
118 50-point games. You said 118, right, Troy?
That's right.
The answer is so obvious. It's just so obvious it's going to probably be wrong. But I'll take a chance. I'll take the Overbrook alum. Your Overbrook alumnus, Mr. Number 13.
That's right, Wilt Chamberlain.
It was just so obvious. I just had to go with Wilt. I just had to, man.
No problem, Joe. I have your calendar here, and I'll make sure I get it to you.
I appreciate that, Troy. Thanks, Brother Troy.
All right, Joe. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Long-time listener, supporter, Germantown Joe, all-around great guy, big-time sports fan, probably the number one fan of Randall Cunningham. I don't know what his, Randall's wife would say about that, but just an all-around good guy, loyal supporter, and someone that I've known a long time. So I thank him for his support and his call. And he just won the 2018 desk calendar on Sports Facts. Every day has a sports fact. And I might as well just give you a preview of the sports fact that they have on here. So let's skip down to November the 4th. So for next year, this calendar will have listed for Sunday, November 4th, 2009. It was Yankees designated hitter Hideki Matsui tied a single-game World Series record with 6 RBIs in Game 6. Yeah, why did I have to read this? I should have read it first. In a Game 6 championship-clinching 7-3 victory over the Phillies. Yeah, boo. Oh, well. You get the point. You know, this calendar is chock full of sports facts. You can have fun when you go out to your family's barbecue and birthday parties, meetings, whatever, hair salon, barbershop, around the office at the water cooler, you know, anywhere where you happen to go and you talk sports. Those calendars are great to have in your possession. Yeah, Germantown Joe called. We didn't quite get to our segment, but this opens it up for us before we go into the fourth quarter. Third quarter is coming to an end very quickly. And he was talking about the racist gesture from Houston Astros player Yuli Gurriel towards LA Dodgers pitcher Yu Darvish. It is absolutely ridiculous that in 2017 you still have people making racist gestures and racist statements. So it was in Game 3 of the World Series after he hit a home run off of Yu Darvish. So he has been suspended for 5 games next year. Actually, it should have been 5 games this year, to be quite honest. Because if you had the time to put this in play for next year, why not do it now and get it over with? So it actually looks like, you know, Gurriel was making, and it's hard to, you know, I don't want to offend anyone by saying the gesture, but let me just say that Yu Darvish is Asian, and the gesture, it was bad. I'll just leave it at that. It was just bad. You know, and then Gurriel tipped his cap to Darvish in the game the other night. I don't know how much restraint I would have had, because I honestly would have wanted to throw a nice 95-mile-an-hour fastball right in his rib cage, because there's no place for that. No place whatsoever. Darvish has a lot of restraint by not plunking him. And to be quite honest, I would have wanted to really just, you know, throw one high and tight. Not too high towards the head, not too low towards his knees or anything like that. But just, you know, right a little rib section, he would have felt it. 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Going into the fourth quarter here on SST Saturday Sports Talk. Most interesting 2 hours of sports news and information. We'll be back after this.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
hip hop. Hip hop.
In America.
And thank you very much for that. Going into the fourth quarter, going into an all-out sprint when it comes to talking about the most interesting 2 hours of sports news and information, I'm your host, Troy Wilmore. Taking your calls at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Before I go on to give you our other half of what we were talking about earlier with Germantown Joe, we were talking about Not So Intelligent, which is a feature here. We try to use it as an educational tool to teach people connected with the world of sports on things that you're not supposed to do. And the flip side of that is giving back, but we'll tell you about who our giving back person of the week is momentarily. But before we go on, one of our premier sponsors, one of our faithful and quite loyal sponsors who we approached on day one about sponsoring here on the program, is Party Savers. Arnold and Nazla Mitchell, who are founders and owners of Party Savers, both hold bachelor degrees in business, own this fantastic company, and they are proud to be a sponsor, and I'm proud to have them and proud to endorse their product. I've known them for going on 20-plus years now, and they will definitely do the right job. They will provide a DJ and full quality sound at an affordable price. The company is a DJ dispatch service, which means when a person needs a DJ, whether it's a big or small event, all they have to do is call one number and Party Savers will handle everything else. That number is 215-315-3336. They offer several different DJ packages, which allows customers to pick and choose what they can afford. They have an array of affordable packages and will definitely help you get what you need. 215-315-3336. 215-315-3336. On email at partysavers101@gmail.com. I often tell the story about Party Savers when they did a job for someone that I recommended and they were simply, you know, joyed over the moon, if you will. And we're happy that Party Savers was there, and they said they would spread the word. So I ask you to do the same. If you have a party coming up, let's say you're having a Black Friday party, call Party Savers up. They will definitely come out and give you what you want at a price you can afford. I don't think there's anyone better than Party Savers. 215-315-3336. 215-315-3336. This is SST Saturday Sports Talk, most interesting 2 hours of sports news and information. I am your host, Troy Wilmore. A few more items to go over before the end of the program. There was actually another person we meant to put on the list for NSI, and I'm glad I glanced down at my notes. And it goes back to the whole Colin Kaepernick issue, and it still is not sitting well with me that people are not using their brains. I don't know in 2017 how you cannot research something to find out if it's truth. And it is simply ridiculous to me that people aren't doing it. Like I said before, how all you have to do is search on YouTube for the Colin Kaepernick video about why he was protesting. The man is saying it out of his own mouth that he's doing it because of the social injustices that are going on in our communities. As simple as that. Simple as that. I don't know how. I just don't get it. I really don't. So this person also ended up on our list. Retired naval officer and military veterans advocate turns down award at Saints game. Retired naval officer and military veterans advocate has declined to be honored at the New Orleans Saints-Tampa Bay Buccaneers game, which was held in the Superdome on Sunday. Commander John Wells was to receive the People's Health Champion Award for exceptional achievements after age 65. He is not and did not accept the award because players did not stand for the national anthem. I don't know. I guess I'm getting more and more upset, more and more mad, and more frustrated that people are not seeing. I don't know what it's going to take on why people are not seeing it, why people are not understanding, comprehending. I mean, I'll probably have to play the audio for you again, as I did a few weeks ago, on why Colin Kaepernick is not standing and did not stand for the national anthem. It's as plain as the nose on your face. So John Wells declined his award, and that's that. So he also made the list for not-so-intelligent NSI this week. So who did make the giving back? The good side, if you will, of those in the sports world. Quarterback Russell Wilson of the Seattle Seahawks. He spends a huge amount of his free time visiting children at Seattle Children's Hospital. He also created the Why Not You Foundation. He's a national ambassador for the Charles Ray III Diabetes Association and has invested with Russell raises money for local charities. He also has the Russell Wilson Passing Academy in various cities, and he also donates time and money to other organizations. So big ups to Russell Wilson for being on the giving back segment of SST Saturday Sports Talk. About another 15 minutes left to go here on the show. Let's go over the college schedule for today. College football is, this was something that I wanted to bring up last week, and I never got around to it. There's so many things to catch up on. But it was whether or not people in Philadelphia, because we're not really a college football powerhouse, if people in Philadelphia are happy that Penn State is winning and playing well. It's a Pennsylvania school. Temple's playing well. They won the other night over Navy. Temple's made a few bowl games. Other teams in the city are not known to be in that conversation of that upper echelon of college football. I mean, Temple was bad for so many years. When they finally turned it around, people were happy and excited. But we honestly knew we probably could not compete with the Michigans, with the Alabamas, with the Floridas, you know, with the Oklahomas. But for the most part, in most games, Temple has been competitive. But even with Penn State having the scandals that they did have, you know, that is over. Somewhat. From a coaching standpoint, they have moved past, you know, the legacy of Joe Paterno. And James Franklin is there now. So are you excited to have a school that is in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania playing well, possibly making it into the national championship playoff picture? Or are you just looking at it as, nah, that's that school up there. That has nothing to do with us. You know, like I said, college football is not big here. I mean, Penn does play well from time to time. So that's something that we can discuss as well. 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. College football today, Auburn, Texas A&M. Auburn is the 14th ranked team in the nation. Texas A&M is 5-3. 12 o'clock in about 15 minutes. Penn State, number 7, takes on Michigan State. Penn State has that one loss from last week at Ohio State. Michigan State has a record of 6-2. Mississippi State has a record of 6-2, taking on UMass. Number 9, Wisconsin, takes on Indiana. Now, here's where it gets to be interesting. Look at the records and then look at the rankings. Penn State is number 7, played well, 7-1. How is Wisconsin ranked number 9? They're undefeated, 8-0. Now, I think this is a game where Indiana might get run over, because Wisconsin, I think, really has something to prove, that they probably think they should have been ranked higher because they haven't lost a game. Clemson plays at 3:30. They're ranked number 4. They're 7-1. North Carolina State is ranked 20. They're 6-2. How is that possible? I always thought that the rankings were bad, and I think they continue to show why they're bad, because just look at the rankings. How is it a team that has not lost a game not in the top 10? So let me give you college football playoff rankings. Georgia's number 1, 8-0. Alabama's number 2, 8-0. Notre Dame, 3, 7-1. Clemson, 7-1. They're ranked 4. Oklahoma's ranked 5th, 7-1. Ohio State's ranked 6, 7-1. Penn State, 7, ranked, and they're 7-1. TCU, Texas Christian University, is ranked 8th. They're 7-1. Here's where it gets crazy. Wisconsin, ranked 9th. They're 8-0. Miami, 7-0. They're ranked 10th. That's the top 10. Central Florida's way down. They don't really have a strong schedule. They're ranked 18th, but they are at 7-0. That's the college football playoff rankings. Now, the Associated Press has it a little different. Alabama's number 1, Georgia's number 2, Ohio State's 3, Wisconsin is 4, Notre Dame's 5, Clemson's 6, Penn State's 7, Oklahoma's 8, Miami's 9, and TCU is number 10. Central Florida is 15, according to the Associated Press. I don't get it. I really don't. I mean, I guess they go off of strength of schedule and all those other things that really make you, I guess, in the top echelon, if you will. Now, as of right now, the playoff picture has Georgia, Alabama, Notre Dame, and Clemson in the top 4. Top 4 teams make it to the playoffs. So, on the outside looking in are Oklahoma, Ohio State, Penn State, TCU, Wisconsin, and Miami. Those teams have to try to move up if they want to make it into the playoffs. Just a few more minutes left. 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Also wanted to mention and give a shout out to Coach Vivian Stringer of Rutgers University women's basketball team. Coach Stringer has been around for several years, and she recently just signed her contract extension. I think I saw a stat where she is about 20 games beyond 20 games until she gets to 1,000, if I am correct. Let's see if the story has it. She's 69 years of age. Rutgers plans on keeping her around past her coaching career. And she's 23 games short, so she has a record of 977 wins, 390 losses. Includes a record of 457 in 22 seasons at Rutgers. 15 NCAA tournament berths, final four appearances in 2000, 2007, and she won the women's NIT championship in 2014. She's also, of course, in the Naismith Hall of Fame. She has a very good contract going forward. A lot of incentives in there. A lot of times those are good contracts to have. She has a $3.4 million salary through the 2020 to 2021 season. Base salary starts at $750,000, increases to $925,000 in year four. Annual bonus compensation based on their academic and the team success. And I'm glad that Rutgers is forcing that, because that actually makes sense. I mean, that goes back to what I've been saying all along. It's not about athletics. Academics come first. If you cannot do basic math and English in the classroom, you shouldn't be on the field. Because if you get injured before your career really takes off, you need to have something to fall back on. And so, you know, I'm glad that they have that stipulation in her contract. And I believe Coach Stringer will keep her young ladies, the young Scarlet Knights of Rutgers, in line. I'm sure she will not, you know, take any shortcuts. She's been around a long time, and she has never been attached to any scandals, so she has been doing it the right way. So it looks like Coach Stringer will have a pretty good time soon, hopefully getting to that 1,000th career victory. There are only two women coaches in women's basketball that have 1,000 career victories. Stanford's Tara Vanderveer, and of course, the Hall of Famer Tennessee Pat Summitt. And like I said, Coach Stringer, 69 years of age, is going to hold on for a few more years, get to 1,000, and continue to help Rutgers with their female Lady Scarlet Knights basketball program. 215-490-9832. Squeeze in another call or two before the end of the program. Tiger Woods is coming back. It looks like he will finally make an attempt to take down Jack Nicklaus's record. He said that he's hitting the ball farther. He feels as though the ball is juiced, as they say, that there's something more to it. But Tiger is going to try and get his career back on track and try to eclipse one of the best sports records. I have a sports record book around here somewhere, too. I have to try to find it. It's actually a great little book. It has a lot of the records that have stood for years, and people always have these conversations like, which record will fall next? Will it be, you know, Pete Rose's record? Will it be the home run single season record? Who's projected to win? Who's projected to break the career home run record in baseball? Will anybody ever get Will Chamberlain's 100 points in a game, 55 rebounds, things of that nature? You know, who will take down Emmitt Smith's all-time rushing record? you know, things like that. So Tiger Woods has 14 major championships. Jack Nicklaus has 18. Tiger has 79 PGA Tour events won. Sam Snead only has 82. So therefore, Tiger has a shot to be the all-time PGA Tour winner. But he still is behind Jack Nicklaus for all-time Grand Slams. Tiger has won 18 World Golf Championships. And he's the only second golfer behind Jack Nicklaus to have achieved a career Grand Slam 3 times. So Tiger is 41, be 42 in December. Still a young man. Golf is a sport you can play probably up until you're, you know, what, 90? So Tiger can probably do this for maybe another 10 years or so before he has to hit the Senior Tour. I don't know when the PGA Senior Tour kicks in. But let's just say he stays healthy and wins one Grand Slam a year for the next 5. He would break Jack Nicklaus's record. So, we'll have to see. So, good luck to Tiger. I know he's had some off-the-field issues and has some personal issues. But when he steps on the greens, you know, he can give hope to those young people who look up to him and know his story. And understand that, yes, golf is expensive, but you too can possibly be a Tiger Woods. We haven't talked much about tennis lately with Serena Williams giving birth to her daughter. Sloane Stephens did win the U.S. Open Grand Slam at the end of August. So we'll have to see what's going on in the tennis world. Australian Open's coming up in January. It's going to be about 175,000 degrees down in Melbourne, Australia. But we'll talk about tennis as well. I know Rafael Nadal just pulled out of a tournament. I think it was yesterday. So we will get to that on next week's show. I never did give you the results from the Breeders' Cup. We'll talk more about horse racing later on because the Eagles will have a bye next week. So we'll reach into our bag of different sports and try to help you understand different sports and what to watch and try to really, you know, take your questions on sports that you may not understand, you want to know more about. I don't know all about all sports, but I know a little bit about several that we can learn together. I actually enjoyed learning about different sports. I actually, like I said, went to a soccer game and enjoyed that. Went to a hockey game a few years ago and enjoyed that as well. But before I go, I'll give you another fun factoid for November the 4th, or maybe I'll give you one for the 3rd. Let's see what we have here. This one is from, all right, let's go with this one. How about November 4th, 1973, Ben Crenshaw, three-time NCAA champion from the University of Texas, wins his first tournament as a professional. The Texas Open in San Antonio by 2 strokes over Orville Moody. He shoots a 14 under par 270. So that is on this date, November 4th. Also born on this date, Orlando Pace, Hall of Fame tackle from the then St. Louis Rams. Carlos Baerga, used to play for the Cleveland Indians. Eric Karros of the Los Angeles Dodgers, born on this day. Former head coach Steve Mariucci and Dick Grote were born on this day, November 4th. So that is little factoid. I enjoy giving out little factoids like these because it gives you history of the sport. It lets you go back and remember on this day. So happy birthday to those gentlemen and all that good stuff. Don't forget tomorrow, Eagles, Broncos, Sixers are playing well. They go out west, so hopefully they can handle some of those Western Conference foes. Flyers will be up and down playing around Eastern Coast and Western Conference foes as well. Boxing tonight, Deontay Wilder taking on Bermain. So we'll see what happens in that as well. Thank you for all the calls. Thank you for the listeners. Make sure you tell your friends about this program. This is a show for you. This is a show I want you to listen to. I want you to call and participate. whether it's through social media, email. No question is a dumb question. No question is a bad question. This is a fun show about sports. That's all it is. It's the most interesting 2 hours of sports news and information, things you may not know about. I want you to know. I want to learn some things with you. There is no sports talk person that knows everything. If they say they are, they're probably telling a story. So let's just end it with that. So make sure you have fun today. Go out, watch Penn State. I'm getting ready to run upstairs now, watch a little Penn State, and see what they're going to do, and do a few other things around the house as well. Phillies have a new manager in tow, and we hope that all goes well with him also. So until next week, have a great day.
The Saturday morning sports talk show is one of the hottest sports talk shows in America.
The mission has been completed.
You don't want to let anything sneak through the cracks. You don't want to forget anything. You don't want to miss anything. You want to be perfect on that day. Because in life, you don't get a lot of chances to be a champion.
No one can do it better.
I have to compliment Troy on the job he did.
One of the best in the business.
The only thing I want people to realize is that when you fight a Philadelphia fighter that has the Philadelphia heart, you cannot break their spirit. The business couldn't break my spirit. The ghetto couldn't break my spirit. The penitentiary couldn't break my spirit. That's a man, not an athlete. I'm a man first.